Today's daf is Bava Vasra daf Chav Vav. We're holding toward the bottom of the page on daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. We learned the Mishnah yesterday about keeping a tree away from your neighbor's bar. So we're going to learn today that even though Rabbi Yossi holds Ala Nizik Laharchik Asatzmo, you could do whatever you want in your own property, and it's the Nizik's problem. He's got to take care of himself. But Rabbi Yossi is going to be Moda by Girei Delay, that when it's your direct arrow that's causing him damage, even though you're working within your own property, Rabbi Yossi is going to be Moda that that's a problem. So we're going to define exactly what Girei Delay is. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about being Marchik a tree, not from a bar, but just from the border of a neighboring field, and what to do about the fact that often the roots of your neighbor's tree are going to encroach on your property. Are you allowed to cut away those roots? How exactly to deal with those roots in different circumstances? The Gemara is going to define the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael with regard to the distance a tree has to be from a border, and then the Gemara is going to quote two different stories of disputes that occurred as a result of a tree being too close to the border, or as a result of someone cutting away his neighbor's roots. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have two ways to answer a stira, whether roots that encroach into another person's property belong to the Bali Ilan, or do they belong to the Bala Karka? And Dine Mamnus, who is the owner of those roots? And we're going to bring Rayas from Hegdish. What if you have a tree that the roots go into Hegdish property, or vice versa? A Hegdish tree where the roots go out of Hegdish property, who does it belong to, the Bali Ilan or the Bala Karka? And then at the very end of the daf, Ula is going to be Mechadesh, that a tree is yonek for 16 amos around its area. So we're going to try to find what Ula is based on, where he got that idea that 16 amos is some sort of magic number of yonika when it comes to a tree. So we are holding on Chaf Hei Amud Beis at the two dots, about 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Avdi Shabarko Demaslilan Yikots, Shazecho for B'toch Shalo, V'zenotea B'toch Shalo. Even though the bar was there before the tree was there, and therefore the guy should not have planted the tree there, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says it's okay, he is allowed to have planted the tree there, and therefore he does not have to cut it down, because each person was just minding his own business, doing what he does in his own property. Amar Vidom Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Amar Avashki Avan Be Rav Kana Avamrinan, Moda Rabbi Yossi Be Girei Didei. But Rabbi Yossi is Moda when it's Girei Didei, when the mazik is causing through direct damage, he's causing the damage. So that's even Rabbi Yossi is Moda in that case, that it's since it's coming miyado, it's coming from the mazik's hand, that's considered to be something that he's not allowed to do in his own property. Papi Yonah, and the Gemara is going to illustrate with a couple of stories. Papi Yonah, Ani Veheshir Hava, Bana Apadna. Papi Yonah was a poor person who subsequently became rich, and he built himself a nice house. He built himself some sort of palace. Havuhana Chatsuri Bishuvuse, there were these sesame oil producers who lived in his neighborhood. Tchiavu Daiki Shumshmi, when they would crush the sesame seeds to get the oil, have a Naida Apadne. It was so much banging that it would shake his whole house. So Asal came to Ravashi, he came to Ravashi, Amleki Avon Be Rav Kana Avarminon, Moda Rabbi Yossi Begiri Delay. Rabbi Yossi is Moda that when it's direct, when it's coming from his hand, and here they are, they're banging away, and it's causing the house to shake, so that would qualify as Girei Delay. As Rashi points out, V'achanami Miyadeyam Hubalo, this is also considered from their hands, Shemikoach Makoseyam Umarid, because it's their hitting, it's their striking at the sesame seeds that's causing the earthquake feeling in his house. So the kama, how much does it have to shake in order for it to be considered that it's doing damage? Kedenayid nachtama apume dechatzpa. If you were to put on one of the walls a jug with a cover on it, and the cover were to fall off, that's how you know that's called girei delay. So there's one seemingly irrelevant element of this story, and that is that Papi Yonah used to be poor. Why does it matter that he used to be poor? L'chor, it's girei delay. Whether he was always poor, he's always rich, doesn't make a difference. Bottom line is he has a house right now, and the house is shaking. So the Ramban understands that the fact that he was poor means that these sesame seed people were making their oil before he ever built a palace. And l'chora, one would have argued that they have a chazaka because they were there, they were doing it before he ever came and built the palace. And the chiddush chiddush of the Gemara is that a chazaka doesn't help because there's no chazaka for this kind of nezek. Just like there's no chazaka for nezek of kutro besakise, of smoke and a besakise, like we learned that even if you hold there is chazaka and nezikin in general, but not the kind of nezikin that are intolerable. So the house shaking is similar to kutra ubesakise. A person is not mochel on such a type of nezek, and because a nezek that's going to knock down your house, you're not mochel. Nezek that causes some inconvenience, you might be mochel, but not a nezek that's going to knock down your house. Tosus, however, writes that the chiddush over here is that even though he used to be poor, and therefore the neighbors never should have even, we can't expect them to have had a hava amina, that he's going to build a house. He's not even in the parsha of building a house. So they were mamish doing it beheter. They did by setting up shop over here. It was really a fair thing to do. It was not, they weren't doing anything wrong. Still, their kedima doesn't help, even though normally when the mazik is there before the neighbor is there, normally the kedima helps. And we saw that in Yitzayin Beis. Someone who wants to put gefes before the other guy builds a wall, you're allowed to put your gefes near the wall, even though it's heat causing, because there was no wall there, and you don't have to remove the gefes once your neighbor decides to put a wall there. So over here also, they put the shumshim in there before they even had a havamina that he was going to build a palace. Nevertheless, it doesn't work. So then the question is, why doesn't it work? Meaning, if they were so right, so why doesn't it work? So either the banging away is not considered a pu'ula kavua, meaning the whole idea of every time they go and they go to work again, it's considered like a new action. It's not considered a hemsheikh of the previous action. So therefore, chazaka of what they did previously doesn't help. Or maybe it's similar to chafiras bar, to digging a hole, digging a pit, that the Gemara said previously in Yitzayin and Beis, you're not allowed to dig a pit even though you were there first, because every chafira is mazik biadayim, is mazik the karka biadayim. So a kadima doesn't help, even though you used to dig beforehand, but digging more, you're not allowed to do, because each time you dig, it's mazik the karka. So that's what we assume one is doing over here as well. Says the Gemara, another story, debate. The son of Ravin, ki have a naftzi kisna, have a azla riksa umazki inshi. When he would beat his flax, so some of the impurities, the dirt, would come and would get blown by the wind into the neighboring property, and they would damage the neighbor's field. Asl kamed Ravina, they came to Ravina. Amr lahu, ki amrina mod Rabbi Yosef b'kiri delay, hani mila dekazal mikocho, ha chaziku dekamam tila. You know, we said Rabbi Yosef is moda when it's your own koach that's doing it, when it's kiri delay, but that's when it's your own koach. Over here, it's not your own koach, it's the wind that's actually doing the damage, and therefore it's not their responsibility, even though they're beating the flax. Maskev lamar baravashi, maishna mizora v'ruach nesayato. Why is this any different than the malach of Zora on Shabbos, that you need the wind to aid in the process of separating the wheat from the chaff, and nevertheless, it's still considered to be your action. You're still chayiv as a mechal Shabbos for doing this. So how come over here we don't consider it to be your action? So Amruah kameh de mareimar amalu haynu zorav v'ruach masayato. When they said this to mareimar said this is exactly zorav v'ruach masayato. Ul ravina maishna migeit sayosim etach sapatish v'hizik de chayiv l'shalem. So if you say I understand, Rashi points out, Bishlam Zora v'ruach masayata lo havile pircha. I'm not going to be bothered by Zora because the Kesavim Mamonim Yisra Shabbos le Alfinan. Das Melech Smach Shabbos Asra Torah. I understand you're not going to learn from Hilcha Shabbos. Hilcha Shabbos is an entirely different story. Hilcha Shabbos Melech Smach Shabbos Asra Torah. Only purposeful anything that you where the result is what you had intended. Purposefully, that's what the Torah asks, even though it wouldn't in other areas of halacha be called your maisa, but by Shabbos your machshava plays a larger role than it normally does in other areas of halacha, and that works bein l'kula bein l'chumra. That's why a davar sheino miskaven or malach shein tzrich l'gufa, we have these concepts where you don't have the full level of chiyuv for davar sheino miskaven is mutter, malach shein tzrich l'gufa is pater. We have the idea that it's going to be a kula Lechatchila when you don't have full machshava. But on the flip side, when that is your plan and your plan comes to fruition exactly as you had thought it through, so then it is called a melacha, even though it's not necessarily a direct maisa. So what the Gemara is saying right now is, I understand Ravina is not going to be bothered by the kasha of Zorah V'ruach Masayato, that that's called your maisa, and yet over here by the flax it's not called your maisa, but nevertheless we should still be bothered by another case of Nezikin, when a person is banging on a hammer and some sparks fly out, where we say he's chayiv l'shalim, he does have to pay. Isn't that also the wind blowing the sparks from one place to the other? So, and yet we do call that your action. And so Gemara, hasam nichalei delezel, hachalo nichalei delezel. Big difference. Over there, you want these sparks to go. Over here, you're not interested in the dirt flying away to your neighbor's field. You just don't want it in your flax anymore. And that's ultimately the difference. Now we say it's the wind that's doing it. L'chora, Tosas raises the question: why, according to Rabbi Yossi, do you not have to stop beating the flax since the wind is what's doing the hezek? L'chora, that's exactly one of the avos nezikin. There are a dalet avos nezikin, and one of them is eish. The definition of eish is that it travels al yidei haruach. This is a Tosas asks this kasha, all the Rishonim ask the kasha. You're not allowed to light a fire in your Rishus when a Ruach Mitzuyah is going to take that fire and spread it everywhere else. So, and if it does spread, you have to pay for it. And the same, it's not only when it's a physical fire. The Mishnah in Baba Kama talks about Avno Sakino Maso, Barosh Gadol. You decide to put a stone or a knife or any other sort of package on top of a roof and it falls, Baruach Mitzuyah, and it does damage because of that. It's as if you threw it at somebody, because the Torah is mechadesh that the ruach, whatever happens al yedei the ruach, is your action. So over here as well, why don't we say the same thing? You're beating the dirt out of the flax, so it should, and the wind blows it to the neighbor. That should be considered your action. So there are a few different approaches that Rishonim take to this. Tosa suggests that there's a chilek between the Naores and every other Eish, because by every Eish, even without the Ruach, the item that is being transported by the wind is inherently a dangerous item. It's inherently a damaging item, meaning fire burns things wherever the fire may be. The wind is just moving that fire from one place to another. Something that has weight to it can hurt somebody wherever it may be. The wind is just blowing it from one place to another. The dirt that's being beaten out of the flax is inherently doesn't do anything. It's like when you have a sandstorm or something. Sand on its own doesn't hurt anybody. People enjoy spending time in the sand. People pay a lot of money to go on vacations to spend a lot of time in the sand. But when the wind is blowing the sand in your face, well, that's not so geschmack. But that's the wind. That's not the nature of the sand itself. That's the chilek that Tosos makes. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that by Eish, the Iker Hezek is the fire doing the burning. He says a very similar idea. But the Ramban suggests that the reason that it's not like that it's not like Eish and Avno Sakino Maso that you leave on top of your roof is because the point of you beating the flax is to get the dirt just to fall to the ground. Then the wind comes and does not what you wanted. It moves it far away. That was never your intention. So what the ruach does is not misyaches to you, because it's not mashlim your maisa. Your maisa was just to get it off of the flax. It's now going further away. By avnos hakina maso and by eish, the assumption is that the wind is completing what essentially was your maisa the entire time. That's the suggestion. Okay, says the Mishnah. Lo yita adam ilan samach l'stei chavero elam kein hirchig menu arba amos. A person should not plant a tree near his friend's field unless he keeps it 4 amos away from the border. Echad gefanim ve'echad kal ilan. And this is true of a grapevine, and it's true of any other tree as well. Tulsus points out over here, mitoch pir shakuntras le'el mashma denakad echad gefanim mishum d'shayich bu klayim. The reason we're mentioning gefanim, why would I have a havamina that a gefen is any different, that a grapevine is any different than another tree? No, Rashi explains the havamina is because there's such a thing as kilea kerem, and that creates an iser. Devi raya mikandik sheish gedra leka iser klayim v'zeh samich ligad mikandik. Zemikan, because Rashi brings a raya from here that you don't have to worry about Kilei Kerem if there's a physical fence in between the two sides. So apparently, the point of emphasis in our Mishnah of Echad Gefen is because of the Kilei Kerem issue. Says Tosos Ve'ein Nira, Destei Chaver D'Ktani Hacha Al Karchach Lav Bishal Zra'i Mairi. When you're being marchik from your friend's field, we're not talking about that he has a grain or anything like that. He's got grapevines also. This isn't a klayim issue. A klayim issue would be if he's got something else planted in his field and you're trying to plant kefanim. He's got grapevines also. Avli ilanos legefanim bayitfei mishum tzipri umehai time legefanim lizroim bayitfei el dinir denakat echel gefanim vechel kol ilan dol teisik adayt el member deshir dal ramz masisin dafka begefanim shemetzina bem shir zeh b'makom acher linyan klayim. It's not that there is an actual klayim issue over here. It's that one might have a havamina that the notion of four amos is only a notion that we have by gefanim, because once anyway we have a din by klayim where a gefan has to be four amos away. So one might have thought that if we're using that four ama number, we must be talking about only gefanim. So it's telling us that no, it's talking about any type of tree that you need to be marchik four amos. Says the Mishnah further, hayegeder bin atayim, if you have a fence in between the two sides, zeh samich legeder mikan, vizeh samich legeder mikan, then each person can plant right up until the wall. Hayishrashim, so that's in terms of the tree. Hayishrashim yotzim l'toch shel chavero, let's say your roots are growing into your friend's property, and he's trying to plow his field, and he's got roots all over the place. Mamik gimel tvachim k'dei shel yakev es macharisha. He can cut away any roots within the first three tvachim of the ground so that he'll be able to plow easily, and he doesn't have to ask you permission or anything. He could just cut away those roots. Hayachofer bor shiachu ma'ara kotzitz v'yorid ve'itzim shalo. If he wants to dig something deeper in the ground, he can continue cutting away your roots as deep as he wants to dig his bor or his cave or whatever it is that he's digging into the ground. There is a machlokas rishonim when two people want to plant trees at the same time. Meaning we say that you have to be marchik dalet amos from your friend's presumably existing trees. You got to be marchik dalet amos because he was there first. What if two neighbors both want to plant at the same time? So how far does each one have to go from the border? So some of the Rishonim hold that the Rimigash and Ramban, that if they both want to plant at the same time, then they split the difference. Very mistaver, meaning if it's normally got to be four amos, each of them will plant two amos away from the border, and they quoted Tosefta to support this. However, there's another group of Rishonim, the Adrama and the Rashba and others, that say that each of them could be mechayev the other one to be marchik the full dalar amos. Each of them has the ability to tell the other one, you know what, don't go within two amos. We're not splitting the difference. We're both doing the full harchaka. And the Adrama explains the reason you could be mechayev him to be marchik the entire harchaka is because the chiyuv harchaka is so that your machareisha, your plow, shouldn't come into my field. If neither of us do the full harchaka, then both of our plows will, by definition, encroach into the other person's field. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's why they could each force the other. The Rashba explains a little differently that since each of them is able to plant in that dalet amos that you're leaving in your field, if you only leave him two amos, it turns out that he's being mazik chavero, he's going to be mazik his tevua. So different explanations of the Rishonim, but that's the fundamental machlokas Rishonim. How far do they have to be marchik if they both come at the same time? Now, why are you allowed to cut away the roots of your neighbor? Because they're encroaching on you. The Rambam just adds a detail over here. In the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Shechenim, the Rambam writes, you could be kotzeitz and you don't have to be choshesh shema yavesh ilan shel chavero, that maybe your friend's tree is going to dry up. Now that's the chiddush over here. Now it's true, it's being yonik from your property, but if you are cutting away that which provides moisture to the tree, you're directly, physically, with your hands, damaging his tree, and that's no problem. Why is that no problem? So says the Nesivos, the cutting of the roots is not what dries the tree. It's the cutting off of the source of yanika, which is your property, that dries out the tree. Meaning the tree remains moist because it's being yonik from your property. So you're just cutting off that passageway through which your soil is providing moisture to his tree. That you're allowed to do. You don't have to give moisture for free to his tree. So that's why it's not considered to be a mazik biyadayim, and you're allowed to do that. Okay, says the Gemara. Tana, arba amos ha'amru kidei avodas hakerem. The dalet amos that we're talking about is the amount of space you need for avodas hakerem. Amar Shmuel lo shanu ela be'eretz Yisrael. Avol b'bavel shtei amos. It's only in Eretz Yisrael, but in Bavel, you don't need four amos, you only need two amos. The Ramban points out, from here we see that a person could stop his neighbor from doing something that often leads to damage, because he's choshesh that it will, that that's where it's going to end up, even though right now it's not inherently damaged. Meaning, why do you have to keep your tree four amos away from me? I think when you plow, you're going to trespass into my field when you plow. So why can't the guy say, look, I'm going to plant my trees right up on the border. I promise, I'm not plowing. Put a shomer right there. You could, and if I ever trespass, you know, come and schlep me to court, and you know, do whatever you want. I'm not going to. Right now, I'm not being mazik. Says the Ramban, since it's normal that this kind of setup often leads to that kind of action, you're allowed to stop it meikara, even though there is no hezek as it's happening right now. And that could be extrapolated to other circumstances where the guy can't say, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm building a, let's say. You know, a lot of times, you know, when a shul needs to build something, there aren't going to be any cars. Don't worry. You know, put a guy right out there and he'll stop. I shouldn't say this, but put a guy out there and he'll stop whatever cars come. There aren't going to be any cars ever. We know that that's what happens. You know, that people, if it's successful, people want to come in and out. You know, that's eventually how it's going to happen. Okay. Then the Gemara makes this chiluk between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. What's the chiluk between Bavel? Why is it that in Bavel they only need two amos and Eretz Yisrael you need four amos? So Rashi says that Bavel is different than Eretz Yisrael because the plows are smaller in Bavel. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael the land has a lot of you know, hills and mountainous things, so it becomes much more difficult to plow. So they need much stronger plows. Whereas in Bavel they don't. Other Rishonim say in Eretz Yisrael just the ground is harder, so they would use oxen. Whereas in Bavel the ground is very soft, so they would do it by hand. They would plow by hand instead of using oxen, that takes up a lot less space. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says that in Bavel, it's the whole idea of being marchik is because the roots of the tree are going to go into the other guy's property. In Bavel, where the ground does not nourish as much like it does in Eretz Yisrael, the roots of the tree are not going to be mispashet kolkach. They're not going to go that far out. It's only going to be beis amos. The main afkamino, what the reason for the difference is? You know, why is it just? You know, biuradaver. We're just trying to explain what the svar is. But the main afkamina. So the Rambam writes in Eretz Yisrael, you're marchik dalet amos. In chutz la'aretz, you're marchik beis amos. The Gemara never said chutz la'aretz. The Gemara said bavel. So is this a din in Eretz Yisrael, or is this a din? Is it a din in Eretz Yisrael that you need four amos and everywhere else you only need two, or is it a din in bavel that you need two and everywhere else you need four? So that really depends on how you understand the difference. So if it's about the equipment that is used typically, so then you have to look at the equipment used in each place. If it's not about the equipment, it's about the nature of the soil, so then you need to look at the nature of the soil in each place. So that would be the obvious nafkamina. Tanya namiyachi. We have a brisa that says this exact distinction of between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Lo yita adam ilan samach l'stei chavero, elam ken hirchim menu shtei amos. You're not allowed to plant a tree near your friend's field unless you're marchik two amos. Va'anantan arba amos, but doesn't our Mishnah say four amos? Elulav kiddush Shmuel. So it must be like Shmuel says that there's difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Shmamina. That's a good raya. V'ikad rami la mirma. Some ask it as a stira in the first place. Tana and loyita dimilan samach l'stei chaverim kenirchim menu arba amos. That our Mishnah says that you have to keep your tree four amos away from the border. Iva tanya shtei amos. But doesn't the Bryce say only two amos? Amr Shmuel lo kasha kan Bavel kan Eretz Yisrael. So Shmuel comes and he says, ah, not a kasha. A difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. In the back of the Gemara, there's a commentary, Poras Yosef, where he says, L'chora, my nafgamina ben hani trei lishni. You know, we're really saying the same thing over and over again. What difference does it make whether you ask it ikad ramilu mirma versus the first way, where it was also a question? V'yeshlomer to kavanas haGemara letaritz kushya satosos. He says the Gemara is coming to answer Tosos kasha that tema de ba'mochra sasvina mashnas mivasul the bubble nami be'in a dalar amos v'tirtzu de bedura de ruusais lemachrisha kamo be'eretz Yisrael. So what the meaning, the Tosos is bothered that the Gemara in Amochra Sesvina sounds like in Bavel you also need Dalet Amos, and the answer is that that was a place where they used plows similar to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Gemara is saying in the first Lashon, that Shmuel says Lo Shanu El Eretz Yisrael of Bavel, sounds like in Bavel there's no place that you need four Amos. Mm-hmm. And maybe and our sugi is against the sugi in Amochra Sesvina, but the Lishna Basra, where which asks it as a stira and says Kan Bavel Kan Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to starting with a statement, with an absolute, that in Eretz Bamedvar Mamurim we're only talking in Eretz Yisrael, but in Bavel you never need it. So that's an absolute statement, that there's no place in Bavel that you need it. Against the Gemara Namochar Sfina, there is a place in Bavel where you need Dalet Amos. The second way of saying it doesn't make any such absolute statements. I don't understand. Why do we have a Mishnah that says four Amos? We have a Brisa that says two Amos. Kan Bavel, Kan Eretz Yisrael. But there's nothing absolute about that. So if there's nothing absolute about that, that can still work together with the sugya in Amochar Sfina. That's how the Paras Yosef explains. Rava Bar Rav Chanan. So Gemara is going to tell two stories about disputes that arose over trees or roots that were problematic near the border. Rava Bar Rav Chanan havelu hanu dikli a mitzvah to pardesa de Rav Yosef. Rava Bar Rav Chanan had dekel trees that were on the border of the pardes of the orchard of Rav Yosef. Havasi tzipori yasvi bedikli v'nakti bepardesa mafsidilei. So the birds would come. They would sit on these trees, and then they would end up in the neighboring field, and they would ruin it. Amalei zilkot. So he said, do me a favor, cut down your trees. Your dekel trees are attracting these birds, and it's ruining my field. Amalei varachikili. He says, I was marchik for amos. That's all I really need to do. So I've kept my trees far enough away from the border. I don't know what you want from me. Amalei hanimili lilanos. Avil gafana bina tfei. Now that's only if you're keeping your trees away from my property, which also has trees. But my property has gifanim. So to keep it away from gifanim, you need a bigger archaka. Are you sure? The Mishnah said that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a geffen or any other type of tree. So don't come with a taina that for a geffen I have to keep it further away. No, when the Mishnah said that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a tree or a grapevine, it meant if you have two neighbors that both have trees, or two neighbors that both have grapevines, the halacha is the same. But if you're planting a tree near my grapevines, that's a problem. That's going to require a greater archaka. Amalei anolo kayatzna. So you could talk from today till tomorrow. I'm not cutting this down. Why not? Domrav haydikla deton kava asulimiktia. Because if you have a dekel tree that has a kav of fruits on it, you're not allowed to cut it down. Vam Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina said lo shachiv shichchas bri elo dekatz teinasa below zimne, that he lost his son Nebuchadnezzar. He said that I know my son only died because I cut down a fruit tree below zimne, when it should not have been cut down prematurely. So mar inichalei likutz. You want to cut down my fruit tree? Gesunta hate. You can cut down my fruit tree, but I'm not going to cut down the fruit tree because I think it's such a dangerous thing to do. There is a discussion if cutting down a fruit tree that is being mazik is us or not. Meaning, if it's being mazik chavero, so shouldn't it be mutter to cut it down? So some of the Rishonim, Ramban, Rabbi Yonah, Rashi, many of the Rishonim assume that even though Rava Barav Chanan and Rav Yosef argue about cutting down the tree in our sugya, but everyone agrees when it's vaday maziko, when it's definitely a mazik, then you're mechuyev to cut down the tree, and there certainly wouldn't be any iser bedavar, and that's what the Rambam paskins as well, that it's only us to cut down an ilan machal bederech hashchasa. But if it's not bederech hashchasa, it's to save the tree from damaging other people, that's for sure mutter. But in Tosos, it seems to be that Tosos disagrees. And Tosos understands Dibra Maslana that the reason he didn't cut down the tree is because even though it's mazik, you can't go cutting down trees. Cutting down trees is a big deal, and you can't just cut down trees. So the there are a lot of diyukim to make in this Gemara. Meaning, he already said that you're not allowed to cut down a fruit bearing tree. Why does he have to add the extra line about about someone's son dying as a result of cutting down a tree. So Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in a tshuva is bothered by this kasha, and he says that Rava Bar Abchanan holds that even though minadin he's allowed to cut down the tree because it's a mazik, he's still not going to do it. Meaning the sakana has nothing to do with the iser. Even if it's mutter, sakana is still there. That there's something inherent about cutting down a tree. It's interesting. The Torah never quotes the halacha that you're not allowed to cut down a fruit bearing tree, which is amazing. I mean, such a famous halacha and something that people are so choshish for. So the Torah never quotes such a halacha. So the Achronim suggests, because it's just part of the general list of Baal Tashchis, which he quotes all over the place, that you're not allowed to destroy things that are productive, that are good to have. So cutting down a fruit-bearing tree is no different. But the implication of Rabbi Yaakov Emdin over here is that it is very different. That there's some sort of special thing about a tree. And it's even Meshav Dover points out that that's why we dafka emphasize that it has a kav of fruit. How much is a kav? It's not that much. A kav per year, the value of the tree cut down is probably greater. The value of the hezek that it's doing is probably greater than the value of the fruits. Nevertheless, normally, by normal gedarma bal tashchis, that wouldn't be bal tashchis. But when it comes to trees, for some reason, that would be considered bal tashchis, that there's this heightened sensitivity when it comes to cutting down trees. Rav Papa Avle Hanu Dikli Amitzrud Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa had dekel trees on the border with Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. Azul Ashkei Davu Chafer V'Kakaish Rashav. One day Rav Papa comes out and he finds Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua is cutting away all the roots that are going into his field from his trees. I'm like, my eyes, what are you doing? I'm like, Tznana Yishrashim Yotzim Lutel Shel Chaveiro Mamuk Shlosha Kadei Shle Yaakov HaMachrisha. He says, what do you mean, what am I doing? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says at the end of the second paragraph of Basra that if the roots are coming into the neighbor's property, the neighbor is allowed to cut three tefachim down to cut away those roots, and so that he could plow. Amalei hani mili shlosha marka chafar tvei. He takes out the tape measure and he says, it's supposed to be three tefachim. I don't know, shir chazanish, you got more than three tefachim over there that you're digging down into the ground. Amalei ana baroshich namaros ka chafar. Now that's because I want to dig boros in my property. And the Mishnah also says that if you want to dig deeper into the property, then you're allowed to cut away more roots. So that's what I'm doing. Amar Rav Papa Armilei Kuli Velo Yachilulei. He says, I came up with every argument in the book, and I couldn't win this argument. No matter what I tried, no matter what kind of argument I would present, I didn't win the argument. Ad Da Amrilei Had Amar Rav Yehuda Meitzer Shechzikah Barabim Asur Lekalkulo. Until I finally came to him with the argument that there's such a thing as a chazaka, that since I was muchzak to be able to have that, you never stopped me before and it never bothered you before. So just like a Meitzer Shechzikah Barab. That if a rabbin uses an area as a passageway, and you hadn't said anything about it, and they've used it for a long time, so you can't stop them. At a certain point, we assume that there's a mechila, and that you can't stop them. So too, my roots are something that you should have been mochel. The basar denafak amar. So after the conversation was over, he said, "Amaylo amilei." You could have still responded to him. You could have said that there's a difference between within 16 amos of the tree where there is a chazaka, but be outside of 16 amos there's no chazaka, because even though the roots may be extending 25 amos, they're only yonek for 16 amos, for the 16 amos that are closest to the tree. So you could have said to him, look, I'm cutting beyond 16 amos. That's the only place that I'm cutting, and therefore I'm totally entitled to cut to that point. So the idea of Meitzer Shechzik Barabim, Rashi writes the way we explained it, that Rav Papa was showing that just like a Meitzer Shechzik Barabim, you're not allowed to be Mekalkel because the Rabim have a Chazaka, so too my roots already have a Chazaka to be able to go into your field. Tosos is bothered by that understanding. Tosos points out, how could Rav Papa show that a chazaka works over here, midin, meitzer shechzik barabim? It could be that a cheskas harabim works, not a cheskas hayachid. It's dafka meitzer shechzik bo rabim. It's not stam. You have a local teenager that likes to trespass. That's not a meitzer shechzik bo rabim. It's dafka a rabim. So you have to be mechalik between a chazaka of rabim and a chazaka of yachid. According to Rashi, how you can explain the Mishnah, hayuchofer bor, kotzitz v'yorid veitzim shalo. Meaning, how does that ever work? If any time that there's roots in the other guy's property, you can always say, ah, chazaka. So what's the Mishnah talking about? That the Mishnah is going to say that you're allowed to that you're allowed to cut away the roots. The Baal Ilan could always tain a chazaka. So that's why other Rishonim explain that the Rabbim are chziku to go on the border of the field of vulnerability of Shua, and their chazak, meaning they're actually what this area. Meitzer Shechziku Baram is not a mashal. Just like there's a halacha of Meitzer Shechziku Baram, so too I have a chazak of here. No, this was actually a Meitzer Shechziku Barabim. There were people that used to traverse this area all the time. He said, you can go dig burrows there. You're building a barbarous rabbim, essentially. People are going to trip. They're not going to be able to walk here. It's a construction site now. That's not okay. You're not allowed to take away the actual Meitzer Shechziku Barabim. That's how a number of the other Rishonim understand. Rabbeinu Tam explains, quoted by Tosis over here as well, that the issue between Rav Papa and Rav Papa Rav Shua was not about whether he's allowed to be cutting away the roots. It was about who gets those roots, meaning there's some valuable wood that was being cut away. So that's Rav Papa brings a raya from Meitzer Shechziku Barabim to prove that he's right, that since if these shrushim would have belonged to the rabbim, you would not be allowed to cut them down. So even though, granted, they belong to a yachid, so you are allowed to cut them down, but nevertheless, they should at least come to me. I should still be the owner of these shrushim. So they were arguing about not the cutting, the activity of cutting down the roots. They were arguing about the ownership of those roots. Okay, says the Gemara further. You're digging some sort of hole in your field, so you can dig down as much as you want, cut away all of the roots that are there, and keep the wood. Who gets the wood? It says, and he gets to keep the wood. Meaning essentially what we're asking is, when you have a tree that belongs to one person and the roots go into another person's property, do they belong to the Bala Ilan or to the Bala Karka? So a good test case is, what if you have a tree that belongs to Hedyot, belongs to a regular person, and the roots go into Hekdish property. So do those roots have a din of Hekdish? So the halacha is sort of. Midrabanan, there's an issur to get hana from them. But as far as real mi'ila da'oraisa, no, it is not Hekdish. So yarm bishlam basur ilan azlinan. See, if you assume that we look at the tree, mishamach ila ma'olin. So that's why there's no mi'ila, because we look at the tree. El yarm basur karka azlinan amayla ma'olin. But if you look at the karka, and it's in the karka of Hekdish, so why is there no mi'ila? So you see, elamai, so you see that it's basur ilan azlinan. Says Gemara, no, I'm not so sure, because there's a steer over there. Elamai, what do you want to say? Basar ilan azlinan, that we look at the tree. Amos Seifa, the Seifa goes on to say, shal hegdish abayim b'shal hedyot. You put the shoe on the other foot. If you have a hegdish tree where the roots go into a regular person's property, also lo nen in v'lo mo'olin. There's still no mi'ila on such a thing. But vi basar ilan azlinan may lo mo'olin. But if you look at the tree, why would there be no mi'ila on such a tree? L'chora, there should be mi'ila in such a case if you look at the tree. Says Gemara, so the Gemara is going to have two ways to resolve it. Midi irya begedulin abon le'achar mikan eskinan v'kesavar ein mi'ila begedulin. No, you can't bring a raya, because that's talking about gedulin abon le'achar mikan, that the tree was made hegdish, and then roots started to grow further from that tree after it was made Hegdish. And we're assuming that any further gidulim that come after the tree was made Hegdish are not subject to Mi'ila. Machlokas Rishonim, why it's not subject to Mi'ila. The Rashbam writes, because something that's that karka of Hegdish causes it to come, doesn't become Hegdish just because of that, meaning it's not Hegdish. The reason there's no Mi'ila is because it's not Hegdish. Other Rishonim say, there's no Mi'ila because even though it is Hegdish, it's Mamun Shal Hegdish, Mi'ila is only when you were Makdish something, not something that's Kadosh Me'elav. This grew as part of Hegdish. It was never Hukdash. No one ever made it Hegdish. So yes, it belongs to Hegdish, so it's a fascinating idea that you could have something that belongs to Hegdish, but because no one was ever actively Makdish it, it's not subject to Mi'ila. But that's why it's not subject to Mi'ila. Nothing to do with Basar Ilan Azlinan. Ravina Amar Lo Kasha. Ravina says, no, it's not a stira for a different reason. Kan betoch sheshes reyama, kan chutz l'sheshes reyama. It depends where those, how closely associated those roots are to the tree. If it's within 16 amos, so then it's still being yonek to support the tree. When it's beyond 16 amos, so when the Reisha says basar ilan azlinan, yeah, within 16 amos, it's basar ilan azlinan. When the Sefer says shalheg dish barim betoch shalhedyot, that it's not subject to mila, that's outside of 16 amos, where it's no longer going to be associated with the tree. And that leads right into the next discussion, which is how we know. And tomorrow we not only get to do geometry, we get to do it on Shabbos. So Bez Hashem, it's a good trivia question. When are you allowed to do geometry on Shabbos? So it's when you learn about Basudat Nasai. Okay. Oh, yeah.